Our Father, we thank you again for the many blessings that you've given to us. Thank you for the chance to be together and learn more about helping your kids. Now we ask that you'll send your Holy Spirit so that the people here can hear what you have to say, not the words that I use. We ask this in thy name. Amen. Amen. So our topic today is communication. So what is communication? A lot of times we're going to assume that somebody's lips are moving, that communication is taking place. But realistically, it does involve more than talking. There's also the receiving and listening end of things. It's a twofold process. To this, we need to add understanding. Frequently, we think we understand what someone's saying, but sometimes what we hear isn't necessarily what they meant. We'll get into that a little bit later. We're first going to look at five different levels of communication, and we'll look at each one of these individually. The shallowest level, the first one, is small talk. This is the how are you, what have you been doing, hey, how's it going, you know, this kind of stuff. And if communication just stays here, well, you're not going to get anywhere. But this can be an opening to other things, and different cultures and this is coming from an American context, okay? I had one of the gals in my club in Lansing she's German, and she's better at German than English, but her English is pretty good. But she is a German, and when she first came to America, she was just amazed when people would say, hi, how you doing? And she thought they were actually asking. They really wanted to know, how are you? And it took her a while to figure out that they weren't looking for an extended response. Too often, this is what we end up with. I'm sorry, I know I said hi, but I really wasn't prepared for any follow-up conversation. Well, let's face it, sometimes when you ask some people how they're doing, you end up with an organ recital. Mm-hmm. And most of us aren't looking for that. There are times that we are, but at any rate, first level is this the shallow stuff. Factual conversation. At this level, information is shared, but there's no personal comments along with it. You're going to find a lot of this in the workplace, and this is very important stuff that needs to be done. Typically, men are more apt to settle for this than women because a lot of guys don't want to express their feelings and get into this deeper stuff, and they're more than content to talk about this factual stuff. Ideas and opinions. So here's where we're starting to actually open up and let people know us a little bit more. Some people are very reticent to do this until they get to know somebody a little bit. But that's what this is about. Feelings and emotions. Now here is a little bit different spot than the other ones because a lot of guys really don't want to get into this one unless it deals with a sport that they're interested in.
I'd say that's women too, a lot of the times, because they feel judged by other women.
Yes.
I know a friend of mine just the other night, she was saying, oh, she's she's five kids altogether here, under 11. And she said that the younger three had to go take a shower. You know, and she was thinking, oh, I have to shower. You know, we're talking, enjoying, the kids were enjoying. And then she said again, I said to her, I bring wipes to carry. And she said, I just love the fact that you're so open. And she really, you know, that I say things that make it normal. For the, you know, there's the ideal and there's the real world.
Yes, we live in a real world. We do not, you know, if we are faithful, we'll get to see the Garden of Eden.
Yes.
But in the meantime, this is the planet we're on. And on that exact point, so I think you were the one that was talking about exercise. How do you log it and stuff? Somebody was wondering how to log. Yesterday, somebody was. At any rate, this is the book I use. Just a simple notebook that I found thrown away somewhere, and I ripped out the pages that were scribbled in. But I just scribble in what I do. And so if I were needing to do this, I would photocopy pages and stick them in there. Anyway, there is stuff that comes in on this thing periodically, news items that it says you might be interested in this. And I clicked on this one, what to do if your gym doesn't have a shower. And because I was curious, what are they going to offer? Because guess what? Sometimes kids go on campouts that don't have showers. Mm-hmm. Have you noticed that? Okay, so basic here, short version is they said, put some wipes in your gym bag.
Mm-hmm. We do that.
And you know, that can be done. It's a simple solution. It's low tech. But we live in a real world. Now, how much you're going to need them is going to depend on how big a group you've got, the age of your kids. If you got mostly friends and companions and heavily leaning it to the boy side, they aren't going to be looking to use them a lot. You might need to encourage their use. I have observed through the years that the younger ones typically tend to get dirtier than the older ones. And the younger ones are less concerned about getting dirty than the older ones. So, but let's face it, some of the older kids, when they start becoming teens, become a lot more worried about these things. And so it's a simple thing to do to have some wipes, and you can throw out the idea to them, hey, you may want to throw some wipes in your duffel bag just to clean up with a little bit. So you do that in your tent as you're getting dressed. Simple thing to add. But yeah, you're right. A lot of people today, I think more so in this age of social media, we judge people more often. There are more people being more critical of people than they used to be. And as a result, some people... there are some people who are going to just plain be a lot more in your face about it, and the other people are just gonna, they're gonna retreat because they don't like it. When you are in a situation where you do end up sharing more feelings and emotions, if it is a shared experience, typically this will draw people together. You mentioned going to Oshkosh. Brother-in-law and his wife were at an Oshkosh. And his wife commented afterwards, she noticed that the kids who went on that were closer. They were, something about that pulled them together more.
Well, you're together and give, like for us, for 8 hours or whatever it is to get over there.
So yeah. But you're also sharing all the rest of it together too. And they probably had to work together to do stuff to get there. Right. So sometimes you gain flashes of insight into your friend's character that'll give you a better idea of how they feel and think. A good combination is to alternate between the levels of ideas, opinions, feelings, and emotions, not just staying there. Deep insight isn't going to be happening real often, realistically. But this is the kind of stuff that makes deep impressions on both people. We spend about 70% of our waking hours in communication. I don't know who figured this out, but between speaking, listening, reading, and writing, and about a third of this, for many people, is devoted to talking. Hey, there are people here who are thanking me for the binders. Here's the guy you thank for the binders. And thanks for the for helping out on the handouts. I appreciate it. Got those. Did you have any announcements you wanted to make to these master guides?
No, I was great. I'm glad to see so many in here. We got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
And there's another guy who was here, but he had taken this one, but he'll be back later.
Oh, yeah, very good. Excellent. So, yeah, thank you. We have this. Guys, I thought you were already.
We've started 10 times.
Yeah. Yeah, Master Guides is obviously, he's probably already explained, but it's really an important aspect of youth ministry, children's ministries, and youth ministries. You don't have your Master Guide? That's what we talked about. That. Yeah. Is this old timer? Is it not old timer? Long time. But so we're thankful to have as many people that are trained to lead our young people. And actually, it's not just the young people, actually the staff that are around you and stuff. It actually is an adult training program as well. When you're a good teacher for young people, you're teaching for young adults as well. So, thank you to Dave. I didn't get a chance to introduce him when I think I was out and about somewhere. And,
that's okay.
I picked up, it was 6 o'clock and all the classes were gone. So thankful for him. And he's been a long time area coordinator for us in Minnesota and different places. So thank you.
The child development,
does
it have to be taught by a master guide?
No. Excellent, excellent question. Thank you for... So, all of this stuff in these cards does not have to be taught by a master guide. Okay? Yeah, and I think you're the one that alluded to something that sometimes people take classes in child development and that kind of stuff. Most of the people who will sign off for CPR are not master guides. Okay? But their signature is still valid if they're qualified to teach it. You know, and I don't know anybody that's trying to teach CPR that isn't certified in it, you know. Those that do that, I know, have to do a refresher on that every 3 years, I think. I'm not positive on that. But there are some EMTs that are qualified to teach. They're all supposed to be qualified to do, but not all, I believe, are qualified to teach it. That's something else. But good, excellent question. Yeah, you getting stuff signed off on your cards. If you find a course somewhere else, at work, maybe in a community education kind of thing, in first aid or whatever, go do it. Go do it. Have them sign it off. And they're going to, well, what's this? And you can say, oh, hey, our church has this really cool leadership development program, and I'm privileged to be a part of it. And this is one of the requirements for that. Oh, really? Yeah. And hey, would you be interested in Bible studies, you know? Or, you don't have to hit them quite that hard. But, you know, it's surprising. There's a lot of folk out there, okay? And we know something that a lot of them are looking for. They don't all know it yet. Some of them don't know what they're looking for, but a lot of them are looking and know they're looking for something, but don't know what. Okay, moving on. The avenue of speech can go beyond just the exchange of words of information. We can express our feelings and our emotions. Sometimes doing this will help clarify and reinforce our own ideas. I remember reading a story about Abraham Lincoln during the war. Called for a friend to come help him figure out he was facing some decision or another, I don't know which one, but that whoever it was came and they sat down together and President Lincoln talked to him for about 3 hours and the guy just listened. And by the end of that time, by stating it out loud, the different aspects of whatever the problem was. He was able to see it, but he needed somebody who would be willing to listen to him and not judge, not jump in and tell him, well, you need to do this or whatever. Sometimes just it can help clarify our thinking and reinforce ideas.
A lady I used to work with, when her father passed away, she remembers, you know, obviously at a funeral, lots of people come up and give him condolences and whatnot. She said this one lady came up to her and just hugged her. And she said she remembered that more than what everybody else had said because she could feel the genuine, you know, love from her. And this lady didn't even have to say anything. Just, you know, embracing her and hugging her for, you know, a few minutes or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the lady didn't even say anything, but her action of hugging her and just holding her, you know, while this lady, you know, cried, you know, meant more to her than maybe some words.
Yeah. Sometimes having a conversation is a way of passing the time, getting to know one another. We've all done it, right? The most basic function of speaking isn't the giving of information, but establishing a relationship with others. The quality is going to depend on the ability of each person to express themselves freely. And like you said, sometimes people will have barriers and don't really want to share themselves. I get about, I think it's 3 emails a day from organizations that are wanting me to buy ebooks at discounted prices. And they're discounted for a brief period of time. And so I have the opportunity if I want to buy a lot of trash. But periodically, they have some good stuff. Once in a while, there's a freebie that's worth getting. Sometimes they have freebies that I don't want. But I picked up one that I started when I was waiting for the blood drive. I didn't get as far into it as I wanted. And I've been busy since then. But it's on communication, and one of what I will share that I remember from that is one of the, when you meet somebody, among the things that you need to do is look at that person as someone who has value. And what is it about them? What is it about them that you can learn, that you can help them, you can learn from them? But where is the value? What is it that the Lord sees in? They didn't say this in the book, but we understand the Lord looks at everyone as being very valuable. And so if we can learn to look at that part of somebody, sometimes it makes it a lot easier to get into a little deeper and have a higher quality conversation. Sometimes when people are talking, it's not really because they have a lot to say. Just talking to talk. And sometimes these can promote that. So I remember my wife commenting that our daughter had moved out to Iowa and taken a job out there. And, you're going to like this. So she's in Iowa working for a diving company.
Wow.
Who would expect a diving company? And we're talking hard hat diving based out of Iowa. Who'd have thunk it? But she had a 25, 30-minute drive into work every day. And so when she was driving, Susie'd call up Mom and talk to her. You know, because Susie had nothing else to do. She had her to drive down the road. And sometimes Deb did. Does that happen to anybody else?
My mom.
Okay. Yeah. We're going to look at a few of the barriers to effective speech. One is the solution center. They're going to weigh down their speech with orders, directives, and commands. Get over here. Hurry up. Sometimes there'll be warnings and threats more than solutions. If you ever do that again, I'll, or don't you know enough to? Hopefully that's not heard a lot in your Pathfinder clubs. Let's face it, some of our kids do need a little inspiration once in a while, but hopefully that's not quite how we do it. A lot of us really don't want to be told that we must, shoulder, or had better, and our kids are the same way. There are some that resort to put-downs in spite of the fact that none of us like to be put down. But some of them are going to judge and criticize. That's not a bad idea, considering you thought of it. Or this kind of stuff. You only say that because, and you know, these may be attempts to teach and instruct, but they're not the best. They're not the most effective. Then there's the corrector. You know, somebody's trying to tell a story to everybody else, this is somebody that has to get all the facts straight. Well, we left on Sunday. I think it was Thursday night just before the, okay, we left Thursday right after we got home. No, it was later that evening. Well, anyway, we left and drove straight. You ever met one of those people? Yeah. So, correctors seem to have a compulsion to concentrate on proper reporting. Sometimes it's just an attempt to draw attention to self, and they show a lack of sensitivity to the fact that different people are always going to tell a story different ways. How many Gospels do we have?
Four.
Are they all the same?
No.
Why not? Yeah. They each have different perspectives. Here's a little cartoon showing the adventures of Grammar Man. So we'll classify this one as a corrector, right? Okay. Now, this is, when I spotted this on the Book of Faces, I grabbed this picture. Because I think this is a really, really nice illustration of how different, if you're in a different position, you can see something totally different from somebody else. And you're both seeing something accurately. Looking at it from one side, we have somebody seeing a square or a rectangle. Somebody else is seeing a circle. What do we see?
It's a cylinder.
Okay, monologuers. These are the people that they need to talk, and they want to have the last word. And they can't bear to be corrected, and they frequently have a know-it-all attitude. Typically, they tend to bore others, and they will cut themselves off from forming close attachments. That's just something that they do. I was once in a Friday night reading. We were reading through The Great Controversy. And, you know, we go through about a chapter a week kind of thing, you know. And I don't know how many of you have ever done that, but once in a while, it's easy to get sidetracked as when you're discussing something about this. And we had a monologuer in the group, and I remember him talking about how the Catholics have taken out one of the commandments out of their Bible. And I says, no, they haven't. Yes, they have. We had to do a version. Pulled it out, turned to Exodus 20. Guess what? It reads pretty close to what the King James does. It really does. The Douay version, they have the same Ten Commandments in the same order that we have them in.
I've seen the list too, and they've taken out and then they've added in their Bibles.
Okay. Now, they don't promote the study of the Bible generally. I'm talking about the Catholic Bible.
Okay.
Okay? So, we showed this guy that in the Catholic Bible, yes, they don't teach this, but in their Bible, it's still there. And about a month or so later, he brought up the same point, how the Catholics have taken it out of their Bibles. Guess what? This is a way to cut yourself off from forming close attachments, because his nickname at work was Mr. Know-It-All. Oh, yes. Here's another barrier to communication, the silent treatment, where silence is used as a weapon or a form of control. I think it's sometimes used more by women than men, not always. When we were dating, my wife got upset with me about something and tried it and discovered I didn't even notice. So she figured that, okay, not going to use that. Some of us can be very content without a lot of conversation. Some people need a lot going on. Sometimes when a guy is silent, it's not limited to guys, but sometimes things can start to be boiling and rumbling inside. And it's going to depend a little bit on your temperament. And some, if you're a melancholy, some of us can get really good at ruminating on things we shouldn't. Maybe it's because somebody didn't listen the last time, or maybe somebody is deeply hurt. And this can happen in our churches. So we need to, obviously, it's hard to keep a close touch on everybody in a congregation unless it's really small. But be aware of the fact that sometimes some people are really quiet because they've been hurt. And we need to find out how we can help them. So let's look at some things at work. Choose the right time to communicate with your friend. I remember years ago, we lived 200 miles from my wife's family. All the rest of her family lives within 5 miles. They're just close to the home. And so she says, I'm the black sheep because I moved away. Well, guess who took her? Guilty, but I'm glad I've got her. Anyway, so we're getting ready to go down to visit. We'd go down at one point we were going down probably every month and a half or so. We go down to visit. It's 200 miles, so it's not a real dreadful trip, about 4 hours, we figured. But when you've got three or four young kids, getting everything loaded in the car and all the people in the car can be a project. And sometimes, for various reasons that are happening at the other end, you need to be there by a certain time, and you can't be there if you don't leave by a certain time. And that's just sort of how this stuff works. And so it was one of those times where we knew we needed to leave by X, and we're at X plus. And trying to get everybody piled in and all the stuff in, and my oldest son is in the car. He says, Dad, Dad! And there's this urgency in his voice. And I'm wondering, what is the emergency? And I found out what it was. And I don't remember if it was Performance Bicycle or Nash Bar, but one of the two companies had some really neat bicycling equipment that was on sale. And the sale was good for about a week or so. And
it was urgent then.
Yes, it was, but however, this wasn't the time to talk about it. And now, I'll give him credit. The items on his list I had noticed, and so he had good taste in the items, but the timing was the issue. Okay? So sometimes you need to throw out sort of a trial balloon to find out, is this a good time to talk? There's something we need to talk about. Is this a good time, or should we try for another time? And go from there. And sometimes are not good times. Pastor Craig and I, he's on the other side of the wall. That's his office. We were in there a bit Sunday sometime or another, Sunday afternoon. And we're talking about stuff for this week and looking forward, but we can look forward in other very short, very broad, because we have to get through this week. And that's just how it is right now. This is what, now come Tuesday or Wednesday of next week, we can maybe talk about it, but you know how how it is. Got to have the right time. Need a pleasant tone of voice. Sometimes it isn't what you say, but how you say it that counts. I don't remember just how it came about, but so about 20, not quite 20 years ago, I'm at work one morning fixing a horn, and one of my coworkers that was about this far apart from me said something to me. And something about how he said it struck me a little bit funny. And before long, we ended up shouting compliments back and forth at each other, trying to outdo the other one with compliments. But what other people heard was yelling. And so it was interesting, because we had we had work cubicles, sort of, very, very open, but I could look over the top and I saw some people from the sales counter that started coming around the corner to find out what all the commotion was about. Long ago, I remember going to visit my mom's folks. And my grandma always said, "He's so deaf." But guess what? He was deaf, but he heard a lot more than she did. And I discovered, and it took me the longest time to figure out what is going on. But Deb and I would go visit them. And it wasn't real often, and they'd like it, you know, because we had a grandson, and we'd take him and visit, and so. But it seemed like every time when we left, I was all worked up, and I was just about mad. And what is it about it? I mean, these are nice people. They've been good to me. What's going on? Till I came across something in... it was an industrial publication, and they were dealing with noise in an industrial setting and some of the responses to that. And come to find out, if people are in a loud environment if it's loud enough where people have to talk real loud so that they can be heard, all of a sudden, some people get angry, not because of what is being said, but just because of the tone of voice being raised and all that kind of stuff. What does Proverbs say about a soft voice? Yeah, I think he knew what he was talking about when he wrote that. Be clear and specific. A lot of times, people just aren't good at really saying what needs to be said, and they will speak in vague generalities. And they'll circumambulate the shrubbery. You know, they're beating around the bush, not getting right to the point. If you're a Pathfinder director, you're automatically on a church board. And we moved to Michigan, and the first year I took off Pathfindering. I had a new job and knew everything, and so I I just stayed out of Pathfinders. I observed that I had two kids that were in it, but in the Lansing Capitals, but I wasn't involved. And my wife's first job was to find a school for each of her kids. We have had four kids, ended up in four different schools, which was kind of a challenge. My youngest son, my youngest is a daughter, and the Lansing Church School was glad to have her. They didn't want my youngest son, however, because he has dyslexia. And they were up front and said, we don't have time to deal with it. And that's honest, okay? So now we can move on. If they hadn't said that and would have ignored him, that would not have been good. So we needed to find another place for him. And lo and behold, St. John's was talking about opening up a school. And we met with the person we thought was going to be the teacher, that they thought was going to be the teacher. And we learned that she had trained, she was a very experienced teacher. She had training in dealing with kids with dyslexia. And she was willing to put in the extra effort to do it. You know, that's, if you got the training but you don't want to take time to do it, well, that's nice, but we need to keep looking. But she was willing. And that year, in eighth grade, he learned how to read. Okay? He still isn't a great reader. To this day, his teacher and us marvel at his ability to look at, when he's reading text, he can come up with, he'll see a word and he will say a different word that starts with the same letter that means about the same thing. Don't know how he does this, but it works somehow. At any rate, so he's going to school up there. And I figured, okay, if they've got a school that's going to work for my son, I'm going to put my membership there. And so that's where most of my tithe and offering went, although I lived a lot closer to the Lansing Church. My older kids got in with kids in the Lansing Church. And my daughter is going to the school there, so end up mostly going to church there. But there was this work bee for the school in the spring, and my son's going there, and so I'm up there, and I was trying to rehang a door in a closet. I later found out that was the Pathfinder supply closet. Okay, didn't know that at the time, but it had gotten ripped off, and I'm trying to get anyway. The pastor comes up to me and says, "Dave, can you come over here for a minute?" Okay, he says, the nominating committee has met, and we're wondering, would you be willing to be one of four people rotating in an adult Sabbath school class? I've taught adult Sabbath school class, enjoyed doing it. He says, sure, glad to do that. He says, we're also wondering, would you be willing to start up the Pathfinder Club? Oh, let me get back to you on that one. And so there was some prayer, and I met with Elder Dodge and the area coordinator, Mark Sorensen, and then I yielded to temptation and said yes. And so we started up a Pathfinder Club. My son has graduated from school, but now my youngest daughter is and my youngest son, we're driving up to St. John's every week for Pathfinders. And I was there for about 3 years. I was a director there for 3 years. So I'm on the board. But I really didn't attend the church that much. They did, that first year, they never did have me teach the Sabbath school class. But it came another year where they asked me to be a Sabbath school teacher and superintendent on a rotating basis, and I did both. And I've always thought they'd ask me to do that just to get me to show up. And that's fair. Okay. So, but I really didn't, I got to know some of the folk in the church, but I not as well as I should have. So I'm at a board meeting, and I always showed up for board meetings because I'm doing my honest part, right? And usually those took a longer than I wanted because I still had to drive home, and I had to go to, I got to go to work in the morning. And this one day, we're there for the board meeting, and there's the agenda, and I noticed, man, we're really getting through stuff. I'm going to get out of here quick. Good deal. All right. And so we got through all of the, there wasn't much for old business. We got through that, and we got through the new business. And I thought we were going to about to adjourn, and then all of a sudden I discover, there's another item that wasn't written in here. It's called church discipline. I'd never been in on a board meeting with that before. And looking back, I could have saved us probably a half hour because we weren't real clear and specific. We were sort of beaten around the bushes, but not really coming out and say, Sister so-and-so has done thus and such. There was illusion, but nobody wanted to come out and say it. And if I, and I was really in the perfect position to do it, looking back, Dave's really good at hindsight, not so good at in the moment, but hindsight, sometimes I'm really good. Looking back, what I should have done is said, time out, time out. You know, I'm not here a lot, so I miss a lot of stuff. Now, I need to know, what is it that we're talking about? Let's not beat around the... What is it that we're talking about? If I had done that, we could have saved a half hour, at least. Be clear and specific. Be positive. I have been amazed at hearing, I've had exposure in some homes that weren't, I wasn't related to, but all of us hearing how communication to, especially to kids, was so negative. And people who, if kids are accustomed to being put down and yelled at, it's not good. And our clubs need to be a city of refuge for some of our kids. Be courteous and respectful of your friends' opinions. Sometimes our friends will not see things the way we do. If we look in the, as I read my Bible, Peter and Paul were on the same side, but they weren't good buddies. They weren't close buddies. They had differences of opinion. And They each had different life experiences and everything. And so we need to be respectful of other people's opinions and not expect everyone to always agree with us. What are the needs and feelings of our friends? Sometimes when your friends hurt, you can understand. Now, you addressed this real good at that one funeral where somebody just didn't have a lot of flowery words. They just came up, wrapped their arms around them, and that said a lot. Some people are going to be really good at doing this. Some of us, it's really easy to be oblivious. Not that we try to, but it comes natural. I remember a guy next lived next door to me in the Dorman Academy. Carson was really, really, really good at getting excited about other people's good news. He was really great at that. And I suspect he has been a really good doctor. Develop the art of conversation. Look for chances to develop it. Find interesting topics. Any questions on this part? Are we ready to move on? Moving on. The listening part. Faulty listening, says one psychoanalyst, is usually at the root of most communication problems. Sometimes it'll just cause irritation or annoyance. But sometimes when a person is talking about something important, poor listening can have disastrous results. Here's somebody that wasn't listening. Now, is that directive look like it was difficult to misunderstand?
I've heard of this before. My oldest son was diagnosed with it. I thought he had hearing problems, that he just wasn't hearing me or didn't hear them something. I said, he's not defiant. He's not a child that is openly trying to disobey me. You know, he doesn't have that attitude. It's just, he doesn't seem to get it, what I'm saying, you know? And when we went to an audiologist, there's actually hearing the kids that they hear. Remember the Mad Lib books?
Mm-hmm.
They hear like that. There are, in each sentence, there are words that can be left out. And their ears hear it, but their brain doesn't pick it up.
Mm-hmm.
And so their brain instead fills in whatever word it wants to. That may kind of make sense. So when we have Beth readers, you know, they're really petty.
Today we're dealing with a lot of things that we better understand than when I was a kid, that were just totally not understood. Literally, I think I had two kids before I ever heard of dyslexia. And I heard of it because my father was diagnosed with it. And my mom was explaining it to me. And in my head, I'm saying, check, 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 check. That's me. That's me. Now, dyslexia, because we have it in my family, I know more about this one than a lot of other challenges. I can tell you that my dad had a lot more of it than I do. It was more intense with him than it is with me. Two of my sons, it's much more intense than what I have. And that is not uncommon. But I know which of my dad's parents he got it from. And his mom didn't have a lot of it. But my dad has cousins that had a lot of it.
And it's really amazing. It's my youngest son's been diagnosed with it. And he's the handy type. You know, he's got that characteristic. But we have, and since we are working with you, we have an awesome, awesome resource in the Lansing Church, Cinda Osterman. She teaches people with dyslexia how to access the left side of their brain so they can learn to read. And it has been amazing.
Come to find out, a gal that was in academy when I taught long ago, far away, with her dyslexia, the only way she could read music is if the middle line, you got five lines, and if the middle one was a different color, then she could figure out, okay, it's above or below that one, and figure out, but without that as an anchor, she couldn't really perceive if they're on a space or a line. We have kids today who are on the autism spectrum. And different ones have different challenges. Years ago, I sold my piccolo trumpet to a kid, well, actually to his parents, but went to a kid in early high school, good trumpet, very, for a high school kid, very good trumpet player. And he did very well with it. But as far as the kind of communication that we're going after here, he'll never have it in this world. Okay? That's just how it is. These are things to be aware of as we work with our kids. A lot of us would rather talk than listen. And we like to talk about our ideas and what we know. And we're not so interested in giving attention when others are expressing their thoughts. Listening seems like it should be a simple thing, yet sometimes listening can be hard work. Sometimes we find ourselves in situations where we really aren't interested in listening to what somebody else has to say. So you may find yourself on, at least I've at times been a bored listener because I've heard what this person has to say before, and you kind of think, okay, here we go again. But sometimes somebody will actually have something different to say, and if you're tuned out, you're going to totally miss it. Now, what I think is really interesting here is look who's speaking. Yeah. A selective listener is just going to pick out, they're going to get the bits and pieces that they're interested in, forget the rest of it. And most of it's going to go in one ear and out the other. There are some people you don't want to hear, and they just don't want to hear anything disagreeable or upsetting or anything that doesn't line up with what they believe. Sometimes we just need to get other people's perspectives. People are hard of hearing. Sometimes they have a selective hearing. Sometimes they can have another challenge like you were just talking about. Then we can have the defensive listener that's going to twist everything into a personal attack on themselves. Now, you remember I spoke yesterday about this couple that was in the class I taught at Berrien Springs the first time I taught any Master Guide stuff down there, and there was this couple that was teaching down here. When this slide came up, she opened my eyes. She said, "This is the kind of thing that often happens when people are hard of hearing." Got the one guy says, "Oh, elephants, I thought you said we were going to cross the Alps with elegance."
Wow.
Big difference between elegance and elephants. I thought about pulling this slide because it's sort of making fun of people that mishear things. But I have left it in because it gives me the opportunity to point out that sometimes people who need a hearing aid and don't have it, or it's not working properly, or it doesn't work in the room that they're in, this kind of thing can happen.
I've been diagnosed with something similar to what her son has, not quite the same, but similar, where I hear, but sometimes my brain misinterprets what I'm hearing. So, yeah, that one word makes a difference, and a lot of times I have to make sure that I ask what they said, because it would be totally different. So that is very important when communicating. If somebody's not getting what you're saying, make sure they understood that word, because there is a big difference.
Yeah. Interrupters will often spend their time forming a reply to what they hear, and they're not really that, it's more important for them to get the reply right than to hear what it is that they're replying to, because their ideas are the important, right? That's nothing, you should hear what happened to me, or that reminds me. There are some people that just are not interested in communication. Looking at that one, you might notice some of these slides are a little old. But the technology looks a little bit different today. But you understand what it's saying. Be alert to body language. Sometimes you can tell a lot by how someone has postured themselves. And sometimes different things mean different things in different cultures. And so if someone's coming from a different culture, they may not be trying to give the message that you're receiving. I think of a number of years ago, one of our presidents had a shoe thrown at him. And he was over in the Middle East. And somebody just threw a shoe at him and he ducked, you know, a big deal. Somebody was just a little bit rude. That wasn't the way it was meant. Different culture. This one, it relates a little bit more to the computer parlance. Okay. Be a door opener. You know, sometimes we need to give people an opportunity to say more. You like some of the simplest door openers are I see, or you don't say, tell me more. I'd be interested in your point of view. Tell me the whole story. These are things that we can help develop a conversation. Now, this is a challenging situation where one person has a very clear idea of what it is that they're trying to say. They have a very clear picture, and the receiver understands the first part of it. And then, because they don't have the frame of reference that the other one does, they get lost. So, I have a story to go with this. I thought of this one Sabbath morning. We were staying in a Holiday Inn Express, and I came out, ate my breakfast, came out and said to the gal at the desk, how do I get to highway, whatever it was. I don't remember the number. Dave's not good with numbers, okay? But I had the right number. I said, how do I get to highway? Oh dear, I'm not good at directions. But she started telling me, well, you go down here so about so far and there's a purple house. And I'm thinking to myself, darkness is upon the face of the earth. How am I going to know a purple house?
Right.
And I lost about a half hour trying to follow her directions. And I whipped into a convenience store and says, how do I get to? And there was a guy there who was servicing some of the vending equipment. He says, oh, you're going down to Berrien Springs. Can you give me 5 minutes and I'll just show you? Because that's where I'm headed. Boy, I tell you, I thank the Lord for that, because I was doing this presentation down there that morning at a union training thing. If you have to give somebody directions, if at all possible, draw them a map and have landmarks that they probably can see. And if they're going over an interpass, if they're going over an interstate, let them know. You know. Now, this guy, our policeman friend here, he knows all of this stuff. This is his beat. He knows it. And he's got a really good map in his mind. And it's probably really, really accurate. And this guy follows it to the traffic signal. And he knows that he goes through. And there's a circle-y thing and... there's a railroad somewhere. Yeah. Now, granted, this is a really tough route to follow. But if he could have drawn a part of that for him, he'd have had a lot better chance. And if you can find somebody like the guy the Lord sent for me, said, follow me. Long ago, Home Depot opened up just down the road from us. And my wife applied to work there. She was going to be in kitchen design. And she worked less than a week, and she discovered that even though she'd said that she wasn't available Friday nights and Saturdays, they didn't care. They wanted her to work. And when they found out she wasn't going to, well, it's time for you to leave. But they were teaching everybody, at least at that time, if somebody asks, where do I find the... You, at that time, the instruction was, take them to it. Even if it's not in your department, you take them to it. Not a bad thought. I'm seeing people, are we supposed to be done? Okay. Okay. Let's go, let's cruise quickly. Sometimes we're looking at information. Active listening talks about the feelings of the speakers first. And sometimes it's more important to catch that and to zero in on that. We don't have time here. If somebody has a problem, so like anger, resentment, loneliness, sometimes we need to give them a chance to say what they need to say. 2 years ago, other side of this wall, and in here, on late Friday afternoon, I saw somebody that did a fantastic job. There was one person who was responsible for like a dozen projectors and a bunch of other stuff. Other people were coming in that were going to be using the spaces, and they were going to just start throwing stuff in boxes and the person that was responsible for all of this stuff, understandably, was getting all uptight. And this young gal, all of a sudden, she figured out what was going on. And the crisis actually had passed. But she figured out that she needs to unload a little bit. And she knew how to get her to do that. And because she could do that, she could get all the stuff out that needed to come. Sometimes people need to get stuff out. And so just sometimes we have to bear with them and give them a chance to get stuff out, and then they can grow from there. When I see the guy here that's come to pick up the recorder, I know for sure I'm over time. So let's just have a quick word of prayer. Our Father, we thank you so much for the blessings that you've given to us and the chance that we have to communicate with each other. Help us that we can do a better job of listening and communicating with each other. We ask this in thy name. Amen.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.